What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get. They can help you find work in any industry. With just one interview at Express, you have a connection to endless jobs, whether you want a contract job, a new full-time role, or a summer job. Choose Express Employment Professionals. Express has more than 860 locally owned locations and no fees for job seekers. Visit expresspros.com today to find a location near you. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require. Hey there, mamas. Everyone knows how it goes. You're giving it your all to breastfeed or pump for your little one. But there are times when you might need a little extra help. That's where Traditional Medicinals Mother's Milk comes in. Mother's Milk is an organic herbal tea blend designed to support healthy lactation for breastfeeding and pumping moms. Plus, it's caffeine-free. Learn more about Mother's Milk at traditionalmedicinals.com/mothersmilk. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Today's episode, Wine About It Thursday Therapy, is going to be with Linda and Charlie Bloom. So they're experts in the field of relationships. They've been married since 1972. They've both been trained as seminar leaders, therapists, and relationship counselors, and have been working with individuals, couples, and groups since 1975. They have a new book out, which is what we're going to talk about. It's An End to Arguing, a 101 Valuable Lessons for All Relationships. And now more than ever, couples need guidance for navigating conflict wisely and skillfully. Drawing on insights from their work with couples since 1975, the Blooms offer practical tools and strategies that apply to all relationships. An End to Arguing convincingly shows how destructive conflicts can be avoided and provides stimulus for individual and interpersonal growth. They use compelling examples from their clinical work and their own 50-year marriage, which has had its share of challenges. I'm excited to get them on because let's just stop the arguing. Hey guys, I'm Jana. How are you?
Things are going good.
Like good. Cause I know every time it's like, people are like, yeah, no, it's good. But really there's, you know, like, how are you it's really? Okay. Especially good.
We had a wonderful Easter holiday weekend with my son and his girlfriend and my grandkids. And it was beautiful weather. It's especially enjoyable with all the sunshine because we've just come out of 3 weeks of gloom and rain.
So you must be in California.
We're in California. We're mid-coast in Santa Cruz. And so I always enjoy the spring, but after all of this rain we've had, it's so wonderful to be able to sit out on the deck in the sun.
I love that. And you guys have been married for 50 years. Is that right, Charlie?
More than 50 years. 50 years.
Oh, there you go. See, that's why I threw it to you. Cause I'm like, the guys never know.
Linda reminds you, right.
So, okay. I'm really excited to talk to you guys. This show is a big advocate for therapy. I've been doing therapy since I was pretty much 14, but really like, diving in, just with all my childhood stuff and trying to, you know, now that I'm in, I got divorced 2 years ago and now I'm in a new relationship and I'm so excited to your book. It's An End to Arguing. And I'm just like, I love that. And I wonder, you know, obviously you've been doing clinical work since 1975, but what is the biggest argument that you've seen in all your years of doing what you do?
I think it's when people feel that their trust has been betrayed. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily have to be an affair, but that's one of the places where it shows up and it's just a huge psychic assault. Yeah. And we're both from the school of thought that no matter how big the crisis is in your relationship, if there's motivation on both sides to learn and grow, that crisis can be fuel in your tank to have even a deeper trust and a greater understanding and a more expansive commitment that you had pre-crisis. So we're always working with couples about where is your motivation? Is your motivation strong enough to do the kind of repair that's required after trust has fallen down?
Yeah, I think that's, that's the number one reason why my marriage didn't work. My ex-husband had a bunch of affairs and every time that I thought we built up blocks, there'd be another fall, a discovery of something. And that trust could just never get there. Like I was just about to be like, okay, I think I trust him. And then it was taken away and then having to kind of rebuild that. And that went on for about 7 years. And I know now I'm curious, like where I'm at today. And I'm almost so triggered by trust and lies that I'm like, I can't physically, I'm like, if my boyfriend were to lie to me, which I don't think he has that at all, but like, I don't know if I could ever recover from that, because it's such the destruction that it did. And then who I turned into, like I was dating someone post divorce and he had lied to me about something. And I turned into this version of just like, someone that wasn't even me. I just, the control and the, like the anger and the, like, I didn't even recognize myself. And I'm like, okay, now I know I can never be with someone that I cannot trust. But it's like, but then I see here stories of people that can trust again. So I'm like, I don't know like where, like how to be on the other side of it in a new healthy relationship.
Yeah, it's a very subjective thing from person to person and depending upon the situation. But when we're working with a person or with a couple, around the issue of betrayal, whether it's sexual infidelity or the betrayal of a very important promise or commitment or vow that they made, that it's really important to find out, first of all, whether you think whether they think it's even possible to repair this, because a lot of a lot of the people that we've dealt with, when we ask that question, one of them will say, no, it's too late. It's over. And we won't, we'll press a little bit into that. But if they're really committed to holding that position, which is understandable, because when you've had a betrayal or multiple betrayals, you reach a point, or most people do anyway, at some point, I can't put myself in this position again. I'm not willing to allow myself to go through this again because it's ripping me apart. And so the first thing we've got to find out is whether or not they even think it's possible. And in the cases where they both agree it's possible, there's always a big but. But I don't know if we can do it. I don't know what it's going to require. And but that's the beginning. Most people underestimate the damage that even one betrayal, never mind multiple betrayals, what that can do in the amount of time and work and effort and patience and energy it requires to really do a thorough repair. They just don't, they don't realize it. And so, sometimes we'll get situations, that are, you'll probably, see this doesn't make any sense, but you'll get situations where the betrayer will apologize and, he'll expect, it's often a him, but it's often, it can be a her too. She'll expect, forgiveness and let's move on. So, 3 days after the affair, she's, quote, still hurting, still upset.
Or 3 months.
Still hasn't forgiven him. And, even after a short period of time like that, he said, well, come on, it's been 3 days. It's been 2 weeks, let's get on, get over this. Let's move on, quit holding on to this. That's one of the biggest mistakes that people make, is putting pressure on somebody to forgive them when they ain't close to being ready to forgive yet. There's so much work to do. It's not saying I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Doesn't cut it.
The evidence has to come in that the person is truly, sincerely contrite, that they are sorry that they acted out that way. They violated the trust. They caused so much suffering. And they're demonstrating with their high integrity behavior, their honesty, their openness, their willingness to reveal rather than conceal, that builds the trust back. But even when there is a motivation on both sides, it can take several months or a year or more.
That's, I remember, saying that.
Sometimes people don't want to work
hard. I used to say that to Max. He'd be like, well, when are you going to, when are we going to move on from this? You keep bringing it up. And I'm like, well, it's been 2 months. And what you don't understand is I think about it every second. Like, I first it's every second. And then maybe like in a month, I'm like, I think about it every minute. Or I pass by this hotel, or I see this, or I'm like, that's what you don't get. Like, you can just be like, okay, done. I apologize. It's under the rug. It's not for me. Like, I see it all the time. Like, I can't, I'm trying to do my work, but it's like, it's a, my therapist basically, I remember we were in couples session. He was like, she was a passenger in a car accident. Her legs are chopped off. Do you expect that person to be over the fact that they don't have legs? And they can't carry themselves, you know?
That's a great metaphor. That's great. That's so
accurate.
So
I'd always be like, car crash. Like, I'm trying.
Hey there. Did you know that May is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is celebrating by highlighting some cool AAPI-owned brands like Cardon, Kaja, Amelia George, and Hey Maeve. I mean, I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. It's important. But you know what? The best reason to check out these brands is that they're just really awesome. Seriously, you need to check them out. And you know what else? You have a great opportunity to open up access to college for AAPI students and help them succeed by donating to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. You can donate online or just round up your purchase at Macy's when you check out. So do what you can to help. Join Macy's and round up your purchase to the nearest dollar at checkout to support APIA Scholars. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store.
What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Not a website, but a person in your community that would help you for free? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get. Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert you can trust, and they never charge a fee to help with your job search. Go to expresspros.com to find the office near you or download the Express Jobs app to get started. With a wide range of opportunities in a variety of industries, from welding to sales, forklift operator to customer service, the team at Express is ready to help you or someone you know take the next career step. Whether you're looking for a contract job for the summer or a new full-time role, turn to Express Employment. Interviewing with Express Employment professionals can be as easy as a phone call, and one application with Express puts you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Don't go in your job search alone. Visit expresspros.com today. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require. So moving on, right? Like, I'm in a happy, loving relationship now. And how do people, I guess, not put the face on someone else, or like, and just go in again trusting? Because a lot of people are like, how are you able to trust again? And I always say, like, well, it's so different this is a, you know, I have to remind myself that this isn't my ex, and how my boyfriend shows up now is wildly different how my ex did. You know, so it's like I have to look at those things, but there are still times when I have to do, you know, inventory check-ins with myself, or like, or what's coming up, or, you know, but what would you say to someone that's like, how do I trust again? How do I put myself back out there?
Well, to trust again is an act of tremendous courage after it's been violated. Mm-hmm. And we choose moment to moment, day to day, incident to incident, we choose to trust and to give them the benefit of the doubt and take the projection of the person who betrayed us, do you know, off of that person and see them as they are and look at them through eyes of appreciation and gratitude that this is a high integrity person. This is a person who values honesty. This is a person who's generous of spirit enough that when I am triggered and I'm having those fearful, suspicious thoughts, that I can tell the truth about that. And they won't make me bad and wrong for it, that they'll respect that I was injured and that I'm in recovery. Mm-hmm. And that it sometimes takes many months, even years, to make a full recovery. But where a stand for a full recovery is possible. And if you have an agreement with this lovely new person who's in your life, that you have permission, you know, that you're, it's okay for you to have those moments of fear, and that you can speak them in a way that he can console you and he can reassure you, and that he's committed to have an honest, open, above board relationship, and that you two are aligned in that value, which you didn't have with that other person.
Yeah. And it's crazy because I don't have an ounce of distrust, and, you know, he lives in a different country. So it's like that it's because of how we respect each other. It's so, the trust is like, it's been, I don't not trust him. Like at one ounce of me does not trust him. And I think it's again, and I don't know if that's a piece into your arguing book, but like how we respect each other and how we choose our words together is so different too. And I know that takes two people choosing to respect the other person and to love. But have you seen that? Like, is that something that is a trick in your end to arguing, is how you speak to each other?
Absolutely. And how you speak to each other really is a function of your own willingness to live in the integrity of the truth. So the words that you use when you speak are an expression of what your inner values are. And sometimes, you know, people don't realize how much they're revealing about themselves when they speak, and particularly when they make agreements and promises that they don't keep. And in almost every case that we've seen where there's been major fundamental betrayals, there has been a breakdown in the fundamental level of trust in the relationship. It's been there since before the event happened that caused the crisis. And you know, most couples don't really understand how damaging it is to create a track record with the other person where they don't naturally trust the words of their partner. They don't realize that when promises are broken, when people are not honest with each other, when they do things that are inconsistent with their words, that this does serious damage. Every time that happens, it takes the integrity of the relationship down another notch. And so people get very suspicious. They start checking each other's phones and they start doing things and doubting that, questioning whether or not they can really take the other person's word for it. So there's a breakdown in trust, which makes the relationship very vulnerable to actions that can further jeopardize it.
And every great relationship is built on a foundation mm-hmm. of trust.
Yeah.
So there's a whole series of agreements that when we know, kid, and keep them, makes that foundation solid. And I love the definition. We learned this from Angela Sarian, that integrity is having what you think and feel and say and do all lined mm-hmm. up as one. So when a couple has an agreement to live in integrity, each of them as an individual, to live a life of integrity and to have their relationship be about honesty and openness and integrity, that's a great contract to make. That's the kind of a contract that brings out the best in right. each other.
I'm just laughing to myself because when you brought up the phone thing, I used to be the worst. Like I would look in phones. I was, because I'm like, I know I'm going to find it. But it's the only time I've ever looked in someone's phone in a past, like with my ex or an ex relationship, is because they've lied to me. So then I'm like, all right, let me find some more. And that's why, like, and I told my boyfriend now, I'm like, I don't, the second that I feel like I want to look at your phone, that's when like there's a problem. Cause I'm like, I don't want to have to ever want or like have the need or the feeling to look at your phone. Like, and that's, you know, and I don't, which is great because he hasn't lied to me. Right. But when I look back in other relationships, I'm going, well, yeah, Jana, of course you're looking in their phone. They lied to you. Like, of course you're going to want to find more evidence. And it's like the detectiveness comes out again.
That's right.
Which doesn't mean that we are perfect all the time. We sometimes are forgetful, or we're sometimes overtired. We sometimes make a mistake. But if we own up to it right away and put the correction in and repair, the trust right. doesn't have yeah, exactly. to fall.
You know, something too in your book that I was curious to know more about is, you know, I always say, and this is something that I think everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people say, my mom told me this is, you know, when I was in relationships, well, pick your battles, choose your battles. And you say, don't. And so I'm curious if you can elaborate on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't mean that you shouldn't be discerning about which things you get upset about and which things you need mm-hmm. to talk about. There's a big difference between, you know, having your feelings hurt because your partner forgot your birthday and them having an affair. I mean, like one of them is quite a bit more right. serious than the other one. The thing that we have an issue with is more semantics than anything else. It's the word battles, and that is what people... how they describe it, choose your battles, pick your battles. And so automatically that predisposes people to take an adversarial position here. You know, we're going to be fighting. One of us is going to win. One of us is going to lose. This is going to be a battle. Anticipating, having an attitude that anticipates that kind of an event predisposes you to be on the defensive and the offensive. So you know, we prefer just to talk about those places where, you know, we're not sure, is this a hill worth dying on? Is this worth really taking a stand on? Or, you know, maybe maybe not, you know. So, you know, we're not saying don't be discerning, discriminating about what you choose to talk about. We're just saying, you know, words can be very powerful. And the language that we use, not only when we're talking to each other, but when we're thinking it ourselves, you know, okay, I've got to, is this a battle that I want right. to fight? So just to kind of frame it in a way that you're looking at it from a different perspective.
Sure. And I think something that I've, like my way of arguing has changed, where I think I used to always want to be right. And I would want them to get my point, understand my point. Now learning that probably more times than not, they're probably not going to understand why I feel X, Y, and Z, but they can at least, I think the empathy piece is the only piece that I really crave for. And just like, I don't need you to understand it. I don't need you to be right or wrong. I just need you to listen and maybe be like, how yeah. can I help you in the future when something like this comes up. Like, that's literally all I ask and all I need.
And that's a lot to show, that level of respect, that we make our best effort to hear their point of view, which may be really discrepant from our point of view, to hear their feelings, to hear their needs, and to show respect. And you mentioned empathy, you know, and to, as best we can, understand. We won't understand completely why this is so important to them, but right along with the trust building is this sense of, this person respects who I am and my belief system, and I am worthy of having their respect, and they are worthy of having my respect. And we can have very discrepant points of view, maybe even values that are different, but we make a space that's big enough to hold them. And that's really good individuation. Right. Two unique personalities, two people with process information differently, two people with different sore areas, do you know? But that can be a wonderful, wonderful relationship, that we're enriched by our differences, not aggravated by them.
Hey there. Did you know that May is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is celebrating by highlighting some cool AAPI-owned brands like Cardon, Kaja, Amelia George, and Hey Maeve. I mean, I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. It's important. But you know what? The best reason to check out these brands is that they're just really awesome. Seriously, you need to check them out. And you know what else? You have a great opportunity to open up access to college for AAPI students and help them succeed by donating to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. You can donate online or just round up your purchase at Macy's when you check out. So do what you can to help. Join Macy's and round up your purchase to the nearest dollar at checkout to support APIA Scholars. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store.
What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Not a website, but a person in your community that would help you for free? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get. Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert you can trust, and they never charge a fee to help with your job search. Go to expresspros.com to find the office near you or download the Express Jobs app to get started. With a wide range of opportunities in a variety of industries, from welding to sales, forklift operator to customer service, the team at Express is ready to help you or someone you know take the next career step. Whether you're looking for a contract job for the summer or a new full-time role, turn to Express Employment. Interviewing with Express Employment Professionals can be as easy as a phone call, and one application with Express puts you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Don't go in your job search alone. Visit expresspros.com today. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles in operation. Compatible device and vehicle require.
Charlie, I have a question on the guy side. Do you think men struggle with empathy more than women?
Well, the problem is that they don't struggle with it.
They don't have it?
Struggle with it more.
Yeah, right. They're not conscious enough to realize that they've got an empathy deficiency. You know, and I don't mean to make light of this. And I do believe that we're all, men and women, are all always doing the best that we can do, given the level of skill, of consciousness, of intelligence that we have in that moment. Mm-hmm. However, having said that, we do live in a culture that reinforces certain traits in men and certain traits in women, and that values some things in one gender that it devalues in the other gender. And women tend to be to get more encouragement to trust their feelings and to be and to honor the value of feelings, where, you know, men, and I know these are gross generalizations, but there's some truth to them in general. Men are more predisposed to relate to things through our intellect, through our cognitive facilities, through analytics.
How to fix, how to, yeah, either defend or defend yeah, or fix exactly. is kind of what, yeah. like, I'm like, no, find empathy, not yeah. defend or fix, empathy.
Right. Yeah. There's only, for most guys, there's only one reason why my wife is going to come to me with a problem. Of course, and that's because she wants me to fix it. So she doesn't even get the words out of her mouth. As soon as I smell that there's a problem here, I'm going to be offering advice, even though she's only spoken for 3 seconds. You know, so I mean, we're wired that way. So yeah, the question is, how does you know, is it possible for a guy who has been conditioned in this culture for decades to reinforce to diminish the value of emotions? In fact, not only do we guys get not get a lot of support to develop it, but we kind of demonize emotions, see it as a woman's thing. It's a weakness. We don't want to be too emotional, because then we'll appear to be weak, mm-hmm. and not, quote, masculine. So, I mean, the question then, I think that's implied in your question to me is, what yeah. do we do with this? You know, like, as a woman, what do you do with when that's what mm-hmm. you're met with?
So I would like to speak to, since this is a signature strength of most mm-hmm. women, we have a sense of responsibility to appeal to their enlightened self-interest about why it's going to be fabulous for our relationship, for both of us to develop our empathy, the depth of understanding and the depth of closeness that comes with that kind of heart talk, you know, feeling, and that we reinforce it like mad, that we find the sensitivity in our man attractive, that we don't see it as weakness, we see it as being real, and we value it. And that when we have that depth of connection, do you know, we're going to argue less and have great sex.
And that's what the guy likes to hear, so... It's a win. You want me to lean in? Sure, because then I get to really lean in later. There you go. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like, perfect. What is one of the best arguing tips that you guys have in the book? One of them, not all of them, because we want people to read it still.
We distinguish an argument, which is, you know, the kind of arguments that we're talking about are not simply differences of opinion. There's a big difference between, you know, having two different perspectives, two different points of view about something. And that's going to happen. And that's not a problem. That is something that's inherent in all relationships, particularly in close relationships. There are things that we're on the same page about, and then there are things that we're on different pages mm-hmm. about. So what we're concerned about, and you know, you've probably noticed that in the book, there's a certain kind of an argument that is really potentially very destructive. And that is when there's an issue that comes up for people that's very loaded for one or both of them. you know, perhaps because of some experiences they've had in the past, or, but they're really sensitive to it. And they have a very strong defensive position on it, about how they want to deal with it. And when the other person confronts them with a different point of view that threatens their security, then they get triggered. So what I mean by triggered is that they get emotionally activated in a way that makes it very difficult for them to continue to have a rational discussion.
Offline. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Right. And so one of the things that's necessary when they start to move into that territory is immediately, as soon as they recognize it in themselves, one of them to say, whoa, I am triggered, just to acknowledge, you know, what they're experiencing. And saying something that simple, just identifying the experience, can itself just cool things down enough to begin to bring a little more rationality into the conversation. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't keep deteriorating into a deeper and deeper sense of conflict. You know, we want to diffuse the potential for things going down the rabbit hole and for both people amplifying their fear and their anger, and getting into more conflict, or else one or both of them just withdrawing and disengaging, because that doesn't work either. So we want people to be willing to just own it, to name it, you know, when they feel like, whoa, this is, I need to take a break here, or, you know, we need to do something here to stabilize. I need to do something to stabilize myself. It's not a good idea when you recognize the other person is really inflamed. Try to get them to calm down. You know, somebody tells me to calm down, the last thing I'm going to do is calm down.
It's like telling your kid, you're tired. I'm not tired. Like, no, you're exactly. Actually so tired.
And that's a good analogy, because when those things happen, we are acting like a kid. We're acting like a five-year-old. You know, we have lost connection to our neocortex brain that can analyze and relate with more skillfulness to differences. We don't have access to that. So, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, we got to, first of all, just cool down enough to be able to engage rationally. And if we can't do that while we're in the midst of this, we need to take a break. Mm-hmm. And we write about that in several chapters.
There's something too that I remember that was really helpful when I was doing couples therapy with my exes. So I have, like, you know, semi-abandonment issues and fears. And so what our therapist did was they put when someone's activated and they need to take a timeout, it's like, hey, I'm leaving right now, but I will be back. Can we, like, set a time, like, right. I'll be back in 30 minutes, or I need,
that,
like,
is,
yeah.
Essential. That's essential. You've got to reassure the other person that I'm going to be back, and to say when I'm going to be back. Because if you just leave, that just inflames their abandonment stuff.
And even if you don't, it's like, just to be left, or to have a door, you know, and I'm against all door slammings now, but, you know, just being like, I need a minute, and it's going to be, I'm going to say 30 minutes, and then I will come back, and let's try to, like, you know, that's something that I am hopeful to take in to, you know, this one.
Yeah.
And we have a kind of a guideline that we offer when we teach our workshops and when we work with couples, that 24 hours is the absolute maximum at a time. And if you tend to be a stuffer, do you know, that you need to come back sooner rather than later, but at 24 hours is the absolute outside. But
that should be rare, that you take anything that long.
Sooner rare. Is better than later.
Yeah. It usually doesn't take more than, you know, half an hour or an hour to regulate yourself.
Or maybe not even maybe a half 10 minutes. An hour. Maybe just a few breaths is enough. But to make an agreement in place that, it, you know, if you're a shouter, if you're threatened, if you have a tendency to be bratty and bullying, that you will calm yourself down before you engage in the conversation again. And if you tend to be a stuffer and you can go off and you can go days, some people go weeks, and they don't re-engage, that you have an agreement in place that you're going to come back. And so we all know, you know, which side of the spectrum we're on, whether we're a blurter or whether we're a stuffer. And that's really important to have that conversation and to have an agreement in place before Sure. the disruption where you're flooded with feeling comes up. So you already have that to turn Yeah, to.
I love that. There's a reason this book is a bestseller, because we obviously, you know, we're all in relationships, whether it's friendship or husband or, you know, romantic relationships and the arguing, there's, we want an end to arguing, and you guys have put that in a book. So Linda and Charlie, thank you so much for coming on, and everybody go get An End to Arguing now, because it is a book that valuable lessons for all relationships. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah. We enjoyed the interview. Thank you.
Really appreciate you both. And we'll have you back on for more therapy one time. Okay.
Great. We'll come back.
I love it. Thanks, guys. Thanks. Appreciate you. Hey there, mamas. Everyone knows how it goes. You're giving it your all to breastfeed or pump for your little one. But there are times when you might need a little extra help. That's where traditional medicinals Mother's Milk comes in. Mother's Milk is an organic herbal tea blend designed to support healthy lactation for breastfeeding and pumping moms. Plus, it's caffeine-free. Learn more about Mother's Milk at traditionalmedicinals.com/mothersmilk. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You know, I don't even know where to start with this, because it's the comfort, it's the style, it's the whole look. That's what I love about my Tecovas. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend, and Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Shop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, TECOVAS.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.